this one night, my friend and I are in this room, and I see my old teacher. I mean, let's just skip to the good bit. I end up with my hand down his pants.
Dickie, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, mother fluffers, mother funsters, mother forget about it. I'm Nikki Levy, and welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. This is where your favorite humans from movie, TV, sports, comedy tell a true story they'd never want their moms to know, and then they tell their mothers. This is the last episode of our Pride Month block party, and have we got a show for you. We are paddling way across the pond to bring you James Barr and Dan Hudson, hosts of the UK's number one LGBTQ podcast, A Gay and a Non-Gay. That podcast is where gay, James, and non-gay, Dan, talk about everything under the sun and make us realize that, yes, in a perfect world, gays and non-gays can indeed be besties. I'm going to call this episode Hot for Teacher and let you do the math. We put this podcast on as a labor of love because I just truly believe in my heart of hearts that sharing our stories helps us all feel less weird and more connected. And honestly, there's nothing else I'd rather do with my time than make people know that they're not alone. Do us a favor, subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. I have anxious attachment disorder and desperately need your approval in a very unhealthy way. Ah! I think I hear the school bell. Pens down. Pods in. Here is me, James, and Dan right after this.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi!
Hello!
Why are you not wearing that cute jumper coat behind you?
Oh, I have the rainbow sweater?
Yeah.
This is the coolest sweater, and I got it for $8 at a Salvation Army. Do you guys have that?
Yeah. Yeah, we do, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why am I not wearing it? I should be wearing it because I'm freezing, and I just had to put on socks. It's freezing here in LA.
Oh, no. The world is ending. It's so cold.
It is cold! Well, I'm very excited to be celebrating the last week of Pride with you guys. Tell me where in the world you gentlemen are.
I'm just enjoying being called a gentleman. I am in Greenwich in London.
Okay.
And I am in Finsbury Park, which is like North London. I'm by Camden, Camden Town.
Like the school. No, that's not the school.
Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse.
Right. That's where Dan is.
Well, you guys are in opposite parts of London, but you're also opposite parts of the sexuality spectrum, which is what makes your podcast so cool and so fun. How did you guys get the idea to start this podcast?
So my girlfriend, who's actually our like executive producer, she was really good friends with James, and we all worked together in the same place. We were all out in Soho in central London one evening. And we were basically just arguing. I mean, not arguing, but just having a discussion.
Yeah.
And Talia said, you guys should do a podcast together. And the discussion was, basically, Talia went to the bar and got three drinks. And James said, do you want to give Talia a hand with the drinks? And I said, no, it's cool. She'll just have a drink out of, like, if they're three full pints and they're in squeezy glasses, you just have, like, a drink of each of them so that they arrive intact.
But they're not intact, are they? Because you've had your mouth around them.
Well, anyway, James was like, oh, that's disgusting. Nobody does that. And I was
I was ahead of the curve there because I was Anthony Fauci on this. And I was like, no, what are you doing? This is disgusting.
So I think we quickly realized that we didn't really have anything in common. Didn't really agree on anything in terms of like obviously we agree on social issues for the most part, but we don't really agree on, we don't live the same life basically at all. We don't have the same opinions on anything. So yeah, we started a podcast, and that was episode one. And then episode two was about how much of a lad I suppose the am, which is sort of like a jock, I guess, is like the American equivalent.
One second. James, what makes Dan a lad? I do not get like meathead jock impression whatsoever.
I don't know. Dan always has a go at me for misrepresenting him. But to me, he's like a normal kind of chilled out, straight dude. He's cis, he's white. Like, as he would say, he's got all the privileges, mate. He's very matter of fact, straight down the line. Like, and I say he's one of the straightest people I know. And he always thinks that's bizarre because he doesn't like football. But what I mean by that is he's just straight down the middle. Like, he has no time for drama. He's just, it just says it out how it is. So I think I noticed how great that was for the first time ever when I was going through a lot of breakups and meltdowns, because I'd get advice from him. And at first I thought it was quite rude because he'd just be like, get over it. But then I started to realize, like, actually, he's right. You know, why am I wasting my time with these people? Like, why am I sitting here getting upset? So I think at that point I realized I need more of this in my life. Like, why am I surrounding myself with
more of Dan?
Yeah, I need more of that kind of straight energy. I mean, oh, I can't believe I just said that. But it can be quite useful to chat to a straight person. Do I sound ridiculous?
Yes, but also no, I totally get what you're saying. Here's the important question. Have you always felt more comfortable with gay men? Like, other than Dan, are all of your friends gay?
Yeah. Gay, really? Or girls, definitely. Yeah, I've not really had many straight. I've probably got like, I could count on my hand how many straight guy friends I have. And it's probably like two currently.
Dan and one other one.
Dan and a guy called Tom, yeah. Straight Tom. I've always given them a label just so they feel othered.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as a lesbian, I was always intimidated by other lesbians. I'm not butch. I don't like sports. I love kind of feminine tight clothes. I'm basically a gay man. That's honestly, I'm a gay man. So I never felt comfortable around other lesbians. So I'm very interested in the fact that you always felt comfortable around other gay men.
I guess I just felt like I was safer. I mean, I was bullied at school, and so maybe I was just scared of straight men. I still am to an extent. I think straight men are quite scary. You never really know where you are with them. I don't trust them.
Tell me what you mean.
I can't. The thing is, I'm looking at Dan's face, and I feel like I'm. It's not all straight men, but a lot of them are. I find them to be a bit afraid of their own shadow sometimes. They're very unassuming. They don't want to tell you how they feel. So I find it quite hard to have like a Dawson's Creek moment with Dan or other straight guys. So in that sense, I guess I never connected. Whereas with gay men and girls, it's like, right, let's sit down. What's on the agenda? What are we discussing?
That would never happen with Dan.
Right.
You could
be your whole self. Fully me, and they're fully them, and it's great.
Right. Okay, so straight Dan, just kidding. Dan, as a straight guy, what did you learn about gay people, gay things when you were a kid growing up?
I remember we had a big afternoon where we all taught about AIDS. And it was drilled into us that it didn't just happen to gay people. And I remember that distinctly because that was a sort of turning point, because I did, before that point, just think that it was, you know, that Freddie Mercury had it, and well, that's all I knew about it.
Right, this is something outside of me, outside of my life, I guess.
Yeah, I just thought it happened to gay people.
Right.
So I remember that, but otherwise, I mean, not a lot. Like, they don't teach you about it at school or anything.
And they should.
Yeah, they should. Of course they should.
James, when did you realize, oh, something's different about me?
There's this kid at school in assembly. I must have been in junior school, and I don't know what your equivalent of that is, but I would have been, Dan, how old is junior school? Like six?
I think it's seven, up eight? To like 12 or something.
Okay, right, so elementary school. Elementary school.
So I was there. I think I was about 8 or 9, and I remember thinking this guy was really cool. And he was the same age as me. He was also in assembly, and I thought he was really cool. And now I kind of interpret that as thinking that he was hot. Like, I see that now as an adult, and I'm like, oh, okay, that was attraction.
Did you want to be like him?
Exactly. I definitely wanted to be like him.
Yes! Yes!
And I had loads of, like, boyfriends that I did questionable stuff with. Like, one of my friends, me and him, used to put on strip shows for my parents.
What did you do?
Well, we found out they'd gone and seen these, like, male strippers, my mum and his mum. And because they were, like, in this single mum's club, so they did loads of things like that together. And they went to see this group called the Chippendales. So me
we
and my...
We have the Chippendales!
You have them too? Oh,
fuck,
my God.
We have the Chippendales!
So my mum and her friend would go to see the Chippendales. And then when we found out about it, me and her son, we would, like, put on jokey strip shows for my mum and her friend. And we'd just come downstairs, play music, and just throw all our clothes off. I mean, God knows what they thought.
Down to what? Like your skivvies?
Just everything. No, the whole lot. Like, we were kids, so we didn't care. But I remember him turning around one day and saying, I don't want to do that anymore. And that broke my heart. And I think that was one of the moments where I felt, oh, I'm different. Dan, have I told you that story before?
Yeah, you've done that. I've heard that a few times now.
So, James, you are telling a story today that is quintessential coming of age, gay as F. Does your mother know the story?
I don't think so. I haven't even told my therapist this story. And that's interesting because I didn't know I hadn't. Does that make sense? Like, this is buried quite deep. But yeah, no, I don't think so.
Well, I'm honored that you're going to tell me and Dan. James, tell us everything.
So this is the story of how I had an affair with my teacher.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When I was at school, this is secondary school, so high school, I had a teacher. Am I giving him a different name?
After that logline, I would say yes. Let's do that.
We'll call him Well-Spoken, okay? So Well-Spoken, my teacher.
Because he was Well-Spoken.
He was very Well-Spoken, yeah.
And describe this guy. Like, what was he like? Like,
he was so hot.
Yeah. I mean,
he had facial hair, but not like a full beard, more just like very clean shaven, thick, jet black, clean shaven. Ooh. Very like beautiful brown eyes and very short black hair. Mm. He used to wear a waistcoat.
Ooh. I
remembered that. Yeah, he was cool. And also, I think he was always very kind to me. And a lot of my teachers were not kind to me.
Why?
I got bullied a lot for being outwardly gay, I guess. I wasn't out, but people could tell that I was gay or different. So I got bullied a lot. Also, I have ginger hair. So that made things really difficult for me at school.
Really?
Yeah. In this country, people will go in on you for that, for having red hair. Like, it's really difficult. So... yeah, it's hard. People,
it's true. I
used
to get it as well. I don't really have red hair, but people would call me names and stuff as well.
I mean, I love it now, but it took a lot of therapy to get to that point.
This is pre-Christina Hendricks.
Look, as a natural redhead, I wholeheartedly disagree with all of England on this.
Well, I know. And that was hard, but he was very kind. He was a really good teacher, and I did well in his class. So, yeah. What was your question?
Were you out at this time, James?
No. I came out after school broke up for exams. So it wouldn't be so awkward because I'd only be going in and out for exams and there'd be no chance for people to like bully me. I mean, how sad is that? But that's how I came out.
Right. I get it.
A couple of years later, I was in the local gay bar in my town, Eastbourne, which is a really small seaside town on the south coast of England, very close to Brighton, which is like a gay mecca. And I was in this gay bar called the Hartington. And it was one of those places, I'm sure you had these in LA as well, where you have to buzz to get in.
Like a speakeasy.
Yeah, they want to check that you're either gay or not, like carrying a weapon and going to beat gay people up before you get in there.
Oh, no, so, I don't know about that. We don't have
that. Right. Oh, okay. So it was really like a blackout bar. Like the windows were blocked up like wartime so that you couldn't see in either.
Specifically to keep the privacy of gay people.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly. Like this
what
is
year
like,
is this?
I know, like 2001?
It sounds like a metal club.
Right. I remember how frightening that would be to like buzz to get into this bar. I can still hear the buzzer. And they'd be like, hiya. And you'd be like, oh, hi. It's just me and my friends. And then
like,
okay, cool, come on
to
in.
Prove your gayness.
Right, exactly. Just being as gay as possible. So me and my friend Rick, we were the same age. We went into this bar, this pub, I guess. It was more of a pub than a bar. And it had two rooms. So there's the front room, which is like a pub with seats around the side and then little tables and lots of beer mats and pretty gross, like carpet on the floor and
gross.
Kylie playing. And then there was a little corridor which took you to the toilet and then also the back room, which was like a club, but not really like a cool club, just like the best this place could do.
Oh, so, but it's not like a hookup room. It's like it's a dancing club.
It was dancing. It wasn't a hookup room. I mean, when you say hookup room, do you mean like people having sex or just people getting off with each other?
Is getting off the same thing in
kissing?
England English? Oh, okay. No. That's not what it means here. No, I guess I meant like there's a bar in New York where called The Cock.
I've been there. It's not like that.
Okay, so I thought it was maybe like The Cock. Okay,
no,
move on.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
No
cock.
Way. Nothing like that. Anyway, this one night, my friend and I are in this room and I see my old teacher. Mr. What did I call him?
Well-spoken.
Mr. Well-spoken. And there he is, like dancing really badly.
What?
Against a wall. And I remember being like really shocked that someone, I guess, from my school was in this bar and also someone that taught me. And I guess there's that maternal thing kicking in because he kind of looked after me. So, yeah, I'm pretty drunk.
Hot for teacher is real, you know?
Yeah, right. It is it?
Of course, I never forget teachers I fell in love with. Fuck no.
Wow. So, yeah, he's there in his waistcoat. And and I don't really remember much about this night because I know I was very drunk. At this point, I'm 18. And I mean, let's just skip to the good bit. I end up with my hand down his pants.
What?
And my friend, obviously Rick, he's just like, ah, like screaming because like, what is happening? And we made out. And
did he know who you were?
Yes, he knew. Yeah, he knew who I was. Yeah, of course. And he said my name in that teacher way, you know, like James. Hello, James.
Was it a big penis?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Well-spoken is also Mr. Well-hung.
Mm. And you know, sometimes when you feel one and I mean, I don't know who's
I've
my
felt
audience
so
here.
Many.
Have
many.
You? Right.
Many, many, many. Oh, yeah. Many.
And it's like it, you know, it feels like it's. It's a plentiful grab, right?
Yeah, it's a nice baguette. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't touch mine at that point. So anyway, I had his number in my like first ever mobile phone.
Nokia 5110.
Right, exactly. With a little stumpy aerial and like a screen with three lines on it. And we texted a little bit. But anyway, I kind of ended up seeing this teacher when I was younger, and I would see him in the pub, and then sometimes I would go around his house, and we even went to Brighton like clubbing one night. But it transpires that he has a long-term partner, so he doesn't want to get too involved. And I guess I ignored it and didn't really think about it. I think the arrogance of youth means you just think, well, I mean, screw them, like, I'm better. So
yeah,
I was just like hanging out with him in the hope that he would change his mind. And this one time we were at his house and he had like all of the annuals from our school, that, you know, like the yearbook.
Yes.
Where all the pictures of the students are in it. And he had, yes, my yearbook where I am. And he's like, lol, look, here you are.
Oh,
in
my God.
The yearbook. And he also had pictures from when we were in class together, but not in a creepy way, just in like, uh-huh, a... I just love...
Were the pages stuck together?
Dan!
Were they?
No. It was cute. It was like, I'm proud of who I've taught, and I like to remember them as they grow up and see what they do with their lives.
And it's a little bit creepy. Go on.
And this one time, I guess I was pushing him a little bit about perhaps having fun. And this is obviously where he's like, no, look, I've got a long-term partner who lives abroad. So I convinced him that it would be okay. Well, actually, I think he kind of mutually convinced me that it would be okay if we both wanked but didn't touch each other.
So you're telling me up until this point, you guys have been hanging out but not having sex?
Yes.
What have you been doing then?
I mean, we've made out, which is what we would say if we were like snogging someone, kissing someone. So we've kissed.
Is the made out is an American phrase, James, just FYI.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, but it's like you were just explaining what it was.
No, I'm just saying here, I think we say it differently.
Was the most you had done the hand job you loosely gave him in the pub the first night?
Yes.
And after that, it was just kissing?
It was hanging out. It was kissing a little bit. He was playing it very coy because he's Mr. Well-Spoken.
Right, right. The waistcoat.
Exactly. And then yeah, this thing in his bedroom happened. I remember the bedroom as well. It was very like understated. It was like a one bedroom flat, like not what you'd expect. I would have expected like a big house with a big garden, but it was just like a one bedroom flat. Oh, he's such a great guy.
So you guys mutually agree to masturbate in front of each other?
Yes.
And walk me through this.
I mean, what do you want me to walk you through exactly? So he's like on the bed and I'm on a chair. And he has the duvet over him.
Over him?
So that I can't see, just to kind of like warm things up a bit.
Modest.
And then...
What does that warm things up a bit? What do you mean?
Well, just so that, you know, it's like happening, but it's not like boom. It's not 100 miles an hour.
He's teasing him.
Yeah, right. It's like, it's foreplay, I guess.
Foreplay.
And then anyway, eventually I get involved from where I'm sat and he removes the duvet and then...
Who spaffed first?
Don't ask that question.
Were the lights on?
Yeah, it was daytime.
So usual like... masturbation in the daytime is so cool. I think this is fantastic. I think masturbating with someone is a very intimate thing.
It is intimate. Weirdly, isn't it?
Oh my, of course it is intimate. So then what happened?
Well, I mean, that's what happened, really. And then we cleaned up, guys. Like, what do you want me to say?
I don't mean that. I mean, did you see him again?
Oh, I'm sorry, right?
Oh,
yes,
my God.
I did. So I remember being in the cinema once with my mum and bumping into him and that being very awkward. But I don't remember exactly what went down. I just think I was like, oh, hi, good to see you. Like pretending I hadn't been seeing him anyway. But then there was this night where... And also, when you're with your mum at that age, like you still feel like a child. So that is...
Totally.
That is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Then me and my friend Rick and him went out to the gay club in Brighton called Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is quite a heartbreaking story, even though it isn't. And I was like with Rick and we're dancing and he's there and he's dancing. And then I think this other guy is like trying it on with me. And in the end, because I know that Mr. Well-Spoken has a partner and a boyfriend and he's not willing to give it to me, that I'm going to get off with this other person. So I get off with this other person in front of him, and then he gets really upset, and then I get really upset, and I'm crying and he's not crying, and we're in the hallway of this club, which is like up these stairs. So we're right at the top of the stairs and it's all red. There's lots of red lights everywhere and there's lots of gays going past because they're going into the club or leaving the club or going to the smoking area. And so everyone's walking past and we're there like up against the wall having like a deep, meaningful conversation.
And, so lesbian.
And he's, is it? Maybe I'm a lesbian then.
You might
and
be.
I think I could be. And he's like, look, you know, I'm jealous. And I'm like, okay, well then why can't we be together? But he's got this partner, so I'm really upset because I want to be with him. And he ends up leaving. And that was probably the last time I saw him because he didn't want to see me anymore.
So you wanted to date this guy. He couldn't do it because he was in a relationship. And then he got jealous and was like, I can't do it. I can't see you with anybody else, but I can't be with you either.
Right.
But surely he can't be with you anyway because he's a bloody teacher at your school or what?
Not anymore. James
yeah,
had graduated.
Yeah, but still, like...
The thing is, I've always wanted this story tale relationship. So I guess that was the earliest version of it for me. It was like something I can't have that I want. I wanted to feel special. I wanted to have like something really exciting to tell people and be like, oh my God, yeah, like we've been married 10 years. Do you know how we met? We met because he was my blank teacher.
He was teaching me about the conch.
At school.
So...
And now I get to hold the conch. I mean, it's great. But it hurt a lot that I remember that being really upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, because you had a crush on him for such a long time since you were a kid.
And he's like deliberately allowed this crush to develop. And even though he's being honest and saying, I have a partner, you just, I don't know, you have this arrogance, don't you, in that situation where you think, well, you're going to leave them for me. And I guess I just thought, I naively thought that he would do that. But you're right, Dan. Why would he do that? He used to teach me.
Yeah. Sorry to be all straight about it, but like, it just, he's very irresponsible on like
his
part.
Dan is our moral compass.
Like,
yeah, I think so too.
He should have just like carried on spaffing on your yearbook and called it a day. Like, cause
Dan,
that's
spaffing,
that's,
jerking off.
Yeah.
In British. Okay.
But it's specifically come.
Oh, God.
That's Dan's word for come.
So your mom doesn't know the story because up until now, no one knew this story. Would you tell your mother?
I don't know if I want to share the bit in the middle, but I'm very happy to share.
Let's not share the bit in the middle. I mean, you can. You could share the spoofing. I don't know what you guys just called it.
Spaff, Nikki.
Spaff.
S-P-A-F-F.
Should I talk to your mom about the spaff? Does she know what that means? Well, I want to talk to you.
She knows about the spaff.
Let's call your mother.
Can you not see me?
Hi, Mom.
I can't see you yet, no.
Right, hang on. What's happening there?
You're phoning someone.
You're being such a mom right now.
Mom's in tech. No, it's not Colleen. It's every mother that ever does this call, ever.
Hi,
Colleen.
Hi,
Colleen. Where are you calling in from today?
From Eastbourne.
That's where James is from, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't born here, but it's where we lived. Yeah.
Well, me and James and Dan hung out today, and this podcast is all about things, you know, that our moms don't know. And James, you shared a little story. Do you want to share like a little blip with your mom? James,
you want to just go straight in like that? You don't have anything to ask my mom?
Colleen, what was James like as a kid?
He was a lovely little boy.
Yeah? So what changed? Just kidding. Just kidding. Just
kidding. He never caused me any trouble. That's for sure. He didn't cause me any trouble.
Did I not?
Well, probably because the trouble probably came after he left home. Maybe. I don't know.
It usually does.
And then I wouldn't know what he was doing. But does James think he caused trouble?
I don't know.
I just don't think you knew about. I just don't think you knew about.
Well,
the
maybe
trouble.
Maybe I was oblivious, as I say, to what James was doing. Was that right, James?
I think when I realised my sexuality, perhaps that would be difficult to be a mum for, because you had no idea how to deal with that. So I guess that would have been stuff I would have kept from you maybe at that point.
Yeah. And then that was, and you were probably about the age of 15 then, weren't you? I think.
Yeah.
Good memory.
Quite young.
When, do you remember when James came out to you, or when you found out he was gay?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah. Because I had a feeling about it.
What made you wonder? Because I think mothers always know. They always know. They always have an idea.
He had sort of like quite close friendships with other boys.
And, yes.
And they'd be upstairs in his bedroom. And I suppose I started, you know, something about that, yeah.
This is awful. But,
do you remember anything in particular? He told us he used to strip tease for you to the Chippendales.
He used to, sorry, what was that?
He used to do a strip tease with his other friend for you to the Chippendales.
Yeah, he said that to me, but you know, I don't remember that. I really don't remember that. So,
how would you not remember that? Have you erased that from your memory?
No. I suppose because I went to see the real Chippendales. I don't know.
Mom, what were you doing seeing the Chippendales? Did you like them?
Yeah, I wanted to see them, yeah. So I went with a friend and we both went to see them. I think we went twice, yeah.
You have such a selective memory that you don't remember that, because we were at your friend's house and I remember us coming down the stairs, and the stairs were like on the left of the lounge as you walk in the front door.
That's and you right, were both just, yeah, they were.
Yeah, so yeah. It's so funny you don't remember that. I think you must have erased it.
Well, I don't know why.
I mean, it would have been traumatic, probably.
James, you didn't completely strip, did you? I think I'd remember that.
He said he did.
No.
Honestly, Mum, we both did that. Unless this is just a fantasy I've made up, but I'm pretty sure we both did that.
I'm going to ask that friend. She was there too.
Yeah.
And how old were you?
I mean, young. When did you go and see them? You obviously remember the Chippendales show. What year did you go?
I have no idea.
Do you remember, and we're changing his name here, but do you remember my teacher, Mr.
Yes, I remember the name.
Did you know that when I was 18, I had an affair with him?
No. No. Okay, was he also what? Was he also Rebecca's teacher at one point too?
Oh my God, he might have been.
Right.
This guy gets around.
Did she have an affair with him too?
Well, not if he was gay, I don't suppose so.
Could have been bisexual.
No, James, I don't think I knew that. No. Okay. How long was that for?
A couple of months. Well, I remember bumping into him at the cinema once when I was with you.
Oh, right. And what happened?
Do you remember that? Well, nothing. I just acted like I hadn't seen him for 2 years.
Is that when you were seeing him?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
I love how chill James's mum is about.
Yeah, I was going to say, come yeah. in. Does this surprise you at all? Or are you just British?
Yeah, you seem very chill about that. I'm quite shocked by how unshocked you are by that story, actually.
Yeah, I mean, if that's not shocking, I don't really know what is.
I thought you'd be writing to the school.
I want to write to the school.
Dan is up in arms.
I suppose if he's gay, you're gay, and you live in Eastbourne, and he lives in Eastbourne.
Small town.
You know, it's a small town, yeah.
But Mom, he was my
teacher. You are so lenient. Are you really this lenient? Is this England? Are you this lenient?
No, I think I am quite.
That's lenient. Great.
Do you not agree, James?
I don't. I think I've told you so much that you're just not shocked. And that's how I dealt with coming out. I just told you everything so that I wouldn't have to like deal with any questions. I just gave you all the information.
Yeah. I'd want to know, you know, James, because I want to understand you and support you. Yeah.
Stop trying to make me cry. It's not going to happen. Did you like Mr. Did you meet him on like parents' evening and stuff?
I really can't remember what Mr. was like.
Oh, he was so handsome, Mum.
Was he? Oh, right.
He wore a waistcoat.
Mm. Oh, did he? I quite like waistcoats, yeah.
He was very handsome. But I was like in love with him, and he wasn't in love with me because he was already going out with someone. It's okay, though.
Mom, is there anything you've never told him that you wanted to share with him?
Gosh. I've always been open, so I can't think of anything that, if you mean anything I've done that I've not shared with you, I can't.
Oh, I don't know where I don't know where I was conceived.
Where you were conceived?
I don't know where that. Oh, like at home. So nowhere fun, just...
Oh, yeah, at home. I mean, I could say something, but when I'd only had one child, I didn't want to have another child.
Oh, great.
I wasn't so keen to have another child. But his dad really wanted to have another child. So I agreed, yes, to doing that. Mm. But no, I was very, very pleased that I did have another child. And
Is
it was
that child James?
Yes, that's Charles James,
wow.
Yes. And I know that when he first came into the world, when he was born, and the fact that he had red hair, that thrilled me.
See, James?
That's so funny.
I was really thrilled to have a little red-headed baby.
Redheads are special.
Yeah.
We're special, James.
We're so special. Mm. I know that now. It just took me a while to get
there. I think redheads are special.
Dan has some red hair in his beard when he lets it grow as well. So he's kind of in the club.
And I'm definitely in the club because my carpet is even redder than the drapes.
That's too much to share with my mom, Nikki.
She went to Chippendales, for God's sakes, twice. I think she can handle it. Colleen and Dan and James, I'm so happy to have had you guys and to hang out and to get to know all three of you better.
No, thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's been such a pleasure.
If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
Did you say it, Mom?
Did you say it, Colleen?
No, sorry. Say it again.
Thank you for listening, my friends. We hope you have had an amazing Pride Month. We loved putting on this Pride block, and we have fabulous episodes coming up. Don't forget, rate and review us. Give us 5 stars if you love us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't. We love to hear from you. And of course, follow us on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother and follow me at Nikki Levy, NikkiLevy. We do this for you. We want to forge community. We love you just the way you are. And we'll see you next week.
Mwah! Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.